Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn's a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Sigourney Rose is the only surviving daughter of a noble lineage on the islands of Hans Lolik. When she was a child, her family was murdered by the island's colonizers, who have massacred and enslaved generations of her people. And now, Sigourney is ready to exact her revenge. When the childless king of the islands declares he will choose his successor from amongst eligible noble families, Sigourney uses her ability to read and control minds to manipulate her way onto the royal island and into the ranks of the ruling colonizers. But when she arrives, prepared to fight for control of all the islands, Sigourney finds herself the target of a dangerous, unknown magic. Someone is killing off the royal families to clear a path to the throne. As the bodies pile up and all eyes regard her with suspicion, Sigourney must find allies among her prey, and the murderer among her peers, lest she become the next victim. Today's Reader's Advisory is Queen of the Conquered by Kaysen Callender. Queen of the Conquered is an epic fantasy novel dealing with the effects of colonization. The characters are brooding and twisted. The novel deals with court intrigue and vengeance. Readers may also enjoy The 100,000 Kingdoms by N.K. Jemisin. Yin Dar is an outcast from the barbarian north, but when her mother dies under mysterious circumstances, she is summoned to the majestic city of Sky. There, to her shock, Yin is named an heiress to the king. But the throne of the 100,000 kingdoms is not easily won, and Yin is thrust into a vicious power struggle. Or Riot Baby by Toshi Onyebushi. Rooted in foundational loss and the hope that can live in anger, Riot Baby is both a global dystopian narrative and an intimate family story with quietly devastating things to say about love, fury, and the Black American experience. Ella and Kev are brother and sister, both gifted with extraordinary power. Their childhoods are defined and destroyed by structural racism and brutality. Their futures might alter the world. When Kev is incarcerated for the crime of being a young Black man in America, Ella, through visits both mundane and supernatural, tries to show him the way to a revolution that could burn it all down. Or A Song of Wraiths and Ruin by Roseanne A. Brown. For Malik, the Solstasia festival is a chance to escape his war-stricken home and start a new life with his sisters in the prosperous desert city of Zairan. But when a vengeful spirit abducts Malik's younger sister Nadia as payment into the city, Malik strikes a fatal deal. Kill Karina, Crown Princess of Zairan, for Nadia's freedom. But Karina has deadly aspirations of her own. Her mother, the Sultana, has been assassinated. Her court threatens mutiny, and Solstasia looms like a knife over her neck. Grief-stricken, Karina decides to resurrect her mother through ancient magic, requiring the beating heart of a king. And she knows just how to obtain one, by offering her hand in marriage to the victor of the Solstasia competition. When Malik rigs his way into the contest, they are set on a course to destroy each other. But as attraction flares between them and ancient evils stir, will they be able to see their tasks to the death? Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list, Queen of the Conquered is on, is Books with Snakes on the Cover. Happy reading, everyone! Today's library tidbit is all about candles. On April 13th, Sarah is running a program on how to make soy wax candles. Space is limited and supplies are limited, but if you are interested and can't make it, I will be going over some basics of candles and candle making today. Some of the earliest evidence we have for candles is found in ancient Egypt. This isn't to say that other civilizations weren't using candles before then, just that most of the evidence that we have for them is from Egypt. The earliest candles were maybe closer to torches than the candles that we would recognize today. They were types of lights that are referred to as rush lights. The dried pith, a specific tissue in the stem of plants, of a rush plant is coated in fat or grease, and that is lit on fire. By 3000 BC, ancient Egyptians were using wicked candles. Ancient Romans are generally credited with developing the wicked candle by rolling papyrus and dipping it into melted tallow or beeswax until it was coated enough to form a candle. However, other civilizations also developed wick candles of different makes. The Chinese would form wick candles by molding paper tubes and using rolled rice paper for wicks. The wax for these candles came from several places, including insects, seeds, and whale fat. In Japan, candles were made of wax from tree nuts, and in India, wax came from boiling the fruit of the cinnamon tree. In Europe, up until the Middle Ages, candles, it seems, were exclusively made from tallow. Tallow, for those that don't know, is made from animal fat. It smells terribly when burned, and also releases a lot of sooty smoke. During the Middle Ages, beeswax made its way to Europe. However, beeswax was very expensive at the time, so only the very wealthy, including the church, could afford beeswax candles. But slowly, over the years, beeswax candles took over from tallow candles, the reason being that beeswax smokes significantly less and also smells much nicer. The next major change in candles occurred in the 18th century, when whaling provided spermaceti to the economy. Spermaceti wax candles were harder than tallow and beeswax, and so didn't melt during the summer, which was a major plus for them. They also burned brighter. However, over-whaling for products has caused lasting effects on the world, so a bit of a net evil. In the 1820s, French chemist Michel-Eugène Chauvreau figured out how to get stearic acid from animal fatty acid. This led to the creation of stearin wax, which is hard, durable, and burns cleanly. Like the spermaceti candles, but with less destruction to the natural world. You can still find stearin candles to this day. In the 1850s, chemists figured out how to get paraffin wax from petroleum. Paraffin has an extremely low melt temperature, but adding stearic acid to it helps to harden it for use in candles. As the oil industry grew, the available amount of paraffin grew. However, as with the spermaceti candles, and as we went over in the last podcast, the oil and gas use from humans has created global warming, which we have about a decade to reverse to prevent even more extinction and destruction. So, again, bit of a net evil. In the 1990s, U.S. agricultural chemists developed the soybean wax candle. Soybean wax is softer and slower burning than paraffin. However, as with paraffin, it can be hardened with the addition of stearic acid. Soybean cultivation is not without its problems, but overall less of a net evil than paraffin or spermaceti. Candles have been used since their creation for a multiple of reasons. The most common is, of course, as a source of light. They have also had various religious uses across the globe. Candles are also, as we went over a few podcasts ago, a big part of creating hygge and other comfort rituals. We use candles for celebrations and holidays, as well as for fragrance and general style and home decor. During the library's program, patrons will learn to make a geometric candle using soy wax. The geometric nature of the candles is based off of Archimedean solids. Archimedes was a Greek mathematician, physicist, engineer, inventor, and astronomer. Lots of roles for this guy. He is mostly recognized today for his work in mathematics and physics. An Archimedean solid is a polyhedron whose faces are regular polygons and whose angles are all congruent. The faces may be all of the same type, in which case the solid is a regular polyhedron, or may be of different types. Everyone's got that, right? Let me define a few of those terms if you, like me, have not taken a geometry class in well over a decade. A polyhedron is a three-dimensional figure with many faces made up of polygons. A polygon is a two-dimensional figure with at least three straight sides and angles. Having congruent angles means that all the angles are the same size. Archimedean solids have faces that meet in identical vertices, meaning that each two vertices are symmetric to one another. There are 13, sometimes 14, Archimedean solids. Ask the mathematicians about that one. There is another group of convex polyhedron with regular polygon faces called a Johnson solid. However, in a Johnson solid, the same polygons do not need to join around each vertex as in Archimedean solids. There are also Platonic solids, which are convex polyhedrons with faces made up of the same polygon and with the same number of faces meeting at each vertex. There are 92 Johnson solids and only 5 Platonic solids. I'll be honest, these are all things that I can tell apart when I see them, but I am not super great about verbally explaining them. Candle making these days is simple and inexpensive. While there are multiple ways to make candles, Sarah's program focuses on melting soy wax and pouring it into geometric molds. There are a few steps to the process, but the hardest part of it is making sure the mold is sealed. If you signed up for the program, you will be given a mold, but you can create your own fairly easily. I will have a link to a mold in the show notes. If you print a mold to fold up from online, we recommend strengthening the paper using a latex paint or glue or something of that sort. Just make sure it does not have a low melt temperature. Our molds are made from a polyvinyl folder. The sides are held together with packing tape and hot glue. The hot glue is a good way to form a seal, but make sure you don't have any large amounts of excess as that will also imprint into the candle wax. Don't forget to attach the wick to the bottom of the mold to keep it nice and centered for the candle. Once you have the mold put together and dried, it's time to melt the wax. Soy wax can be melted over a double boiler, inside a container in a water bath, being careful not to get water into the wax, or in a microwave. Once the soy wax is melted, you can add in fragrance or colorant. Your soy wax will be able to take different amounts of these, so double check with the manufacturer to be sure. The soy wax that the library is using takes up to 12% fragrance by weight. We do not recommend using crayons or mica to color your candles, as these can cause a candle to not light, or to go out, or have other additives that can affect your candle's life. There are specific colorants that are manufactured specifically for coloring candles, and we recommend using those. Once the soy wax has melted and any colorants or fragrances are added, you want to make sure the wax mixture has cooled to about 135 degrees Fahrenheit before pouring it into the mold. Careful while pouring to keep the wick as centered as possible. A centered wick burns longer and more evenly. Once the wax has been poured into the mold, the candle needs to be left to set and cure. It will set in about an hour. However, you want to give the candle at least 24 hours before unmolding, as the wax will be a little soft for up to a day. Once you have removed it from the mold, let the candle cure for at least 2 weeks before trimming the wick to a quarter of an inch and lighting it. Some people find that soy wax candles are too soft for their purposes or tastes. If you find this to be the case, you can add stearic acid to the mixture. Just make sure to check with the manufacturer about how much stearic acid to use with your soy wax. This will both harden the candle and give the candle a glossier appearance. We recommend doing a test with the soy wax that you get first, as most soy waxes that you purchase are blends that address the softness problem already. But it's really a personal preference. If you're able to join us for the program, we hope you have fun making candles here at the library. However, various candle supplies can be purchased fairly inexpensively, so if you have an interest in it, it's worth checking out doing at home. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a Viajero de Libros. Soy Victor, un bibliotecario aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo, y hoy les voy a estar hablando sobre un libro que se titula La Forma Sombras, por Daniel José Holder. La sinopsis. Sierra Santiago planeaba tener unas vacaciones tranquilas, haciendo arte y saliendo con sus amigos. Sin embargo, un cadáver aparece en su primera fiesta de verano y los murales del barrio comienzan a llorar. Al parecer, en Brooklyn está ocurriendo algo más siniestro de la cuenta. Pinta un mural, comienza una batalla, cambia el mundo. Mi opinión. La Forma Sombras presenta a una heroína y una magia como ninguna otra en la ficción fantástica. Con la ayuda de un compañero artista llamado Robbie, Sierra descubre la formación de sombras, una magia emocionante que infunde espíritus ancestrales en pinturas, en música e historias. Pero alguien está matando a los formasombras uno por uno, y el asesino cree que Sierra esconde su mayor secreto. Sierra ahora debe desentrañar el pasado de su familia, acabar con el asesino presente y salvar el futuro de las sombras para generaciones venideras. Sierra Santiago es definitivamente una de mis nuevas heroínas favoritas. Ella hace planes y los cumple, y tiene los ojos claros sobre las deficiencias de las personas que ama. Mientras Sierra sigue la dirección de su abuelo para encontrar a Robbie y arreglar los murales en su vecindario, más y más secretos salen a la luz, y descubre todo un mundo espiritual que le ha estado oculto, pero con el que está fuertemente conectada. Holder nos presenta muchos puntos de gran discusión entre la acción y la lucha sobrenatural, incluido el colorismo, las expectativas de género, la ética o la falta de ella, la antropología y el manejo de miembros difíciles de la familia. Además, infundida con el folclore latino, esta novela aborda la gentrificación, el sexismo, al tiempo que destaca la belleza y la diversidad de la familia y la cultura de Sierra. El entorno de Brooklyn y el grupo de amigos de Sierra añaden realismo y humor a la historia. Es una historia muy emocionante y muy recomendada. Es todo por hoy. Hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out our events calendar for all our upcoming events. Wear a mask when you come inside the library. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you again soon. Developed the soy wean